So tonight we're going to learn the story of Rivka's prophecy, which you've read before, you've learned before, and we'll consider about five or six questions, and hopefully it'll come with maybe a nice idea at the end, or interesting idea at the end. We begin the parasha. Ve'ela tolos Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram holidus Yitzchak. Avram gives birth to Yitzchak. Avram fathers Yitzchak. Vayehi Yitzchak ben Avrim shana b'kach tolos Rivka bas besuel harami miparan Aram achos levan harami lo liisha. So Yaakov is 40 years old. Yitzchak is 40 years old when he marries Rivka. And then vayetar Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto ki yakarahi. Yitzchak is davening to Hashem because she is barren. Vayeser lo Hashem. So Hashem listens to him, and Rivka gets pregnant. Now, this is the key pasuk, and this is the pasuk I want to focus on, basically. And the children, what's Vayisrotzu?
Quarreling.
Okay, they're quarreling. What?
Running around.
Is it from Ritza, running, or maybe somehow fighting? Why do you think it's fighting? You assume they're fighting, right? There's some kind of...
I just remember that. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, you're remembering. There's a midrash about they seem to be fighting, right? And then she's saying, Im kein lama zanochi. If so, why is this I? Lama zanochi. That's a strange phrase. Vatech lid Rosh Hashem, and she goes to seek out God. Now, and it's not clear how she does that, right? She goes to seek out God. Okay, Vayomar Hashem Lod, Hashem says, there are two nations in your stomach, Shelamim Vachy Paredu, and there'll be two nations will be separated from your inside. Ulaom Yilom Yamatz, Vavyu Bot Zair. Okay, she's gonna say, without getting into details, basically the older one's gonna serve the younger one. That's what it seems like. I wanna ask 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I wanna ask 6 questions. Okay, on this pasuk. So number one is what, and some of these questions, I'm sure some of you have some ideas. I like to explore many different possibilities, as you know. Number one is what prompted Rivka to seek out God, right? And what does this phrase "im kein lama ze anochi" mean? Why does she consult God? With whom does she consult? And if it wasn't Avraham. I mean, maybe she consulted Avram, but I'm sure some of you are aware that, you've heard that maybe she didn't consult Avram. Right? I mean, who did she consult? God. So how do you consult God? What do you do to consult God? Yeah?
To the prophet?
Talk to a prophet. So, what? So is it Avram a prophet? Does she consult Avram? We're going to see that a lot of Mefarshim say that she doesn't, but that maybe, okay, if it's not, like, why would she not go to Avraham, according to some Mefarshim? We're going to see. There are some who say maybe she did consult Avraham, but the standard opinion is that she doesn't consult Avraham. Of course, why not? He's probably local. You know, you're LOP, your local Orthodox prophet, but she seems to go somewhere else. And then, does she ever tell Yitzchak about the prophecy, and if not, why not? Okay? Like, why didn't she go to her husband, okay? So, first question is, what do you think prompted her to seek out God? Like, what happened? What actually happened? Like, does everyone who's pregnant...
She was afraid she was miscarrying.
Mean what?
The baby's moving around causing her pain. She was afraid she was miscarrying. It's a problem with the pregnancy.
Okay, and now this is a very difficult pregnancy. Now, it's not clear to me, did she know that she was having twins?
Right.
So.
No, she
knows. There's on a basic level, it's a very difficult pregnancy. It was much worse, right? It seems as much worse than others. And then why would she consult God for
it's
what?
Like when you go to the doctor, at that point, you know it's that version of the doctor of the
RFA. Meaning what? She wants to know if what
if everything's okay.
So now the God is the doctor.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not saying that. Okay, we can see. Any other thoughts? That's one approach. That's totally like, say, there. It's interesting.
Shot.
Right. You say, Lama Zanochi, is like, why is this happening to me?
Yeah, so what is she? She's going through like an existential crisis? Is that what she is?
Or is like, she's so tortured by this painful pregnancy, she wants to know, like, why am I getting, punishment? Or...
Okay, she's having an existential crisis.
Right.
Okay. So the, okay. So let's go step by step. So, Psikta Zutrata, I start from the Midrashim and then I go to the Mefarshim. Hayu mechatchim betoch habetah. They were like cutting inside the stomach. It seemed like it was unusual pain. Right? It was unusual pain, unusual stomach pains. And that's why the psikta zutra says vatomer kein lomaz anochi. So he cites an opinion. It says malame chayis rivka imenu omer sonashin. So she's like, this is the first time being pregnant. So she goes to her women friends and she says klumi gil liyachem kozeh atzar beherayon. Did you have this similar pain in pregnancy of Yom La Love? And they said no. So apparently, one approach is this: her pain was unusual. And then came, Imkin Lama Zanochi, why am I mitzteret chol nashim? Like, you know, right, pshat. Like, you know, why am I suffering more than these other women? All right. You also have, I'm sure some of you are familiar with this, the Midrash, I think Rashi quotes this, Midrash Agada, Haysa Overas al Abayshel Vadazar, when she go past a house of idolatry, Esav is jumping out or pushing out to go out. Overasa bate knesu bate midrashos. She passes by shoals and bate midrash. I mean, I know where they were, but okay. Again, is that time? Say Yaakov rotzilatzeis. So in other words, it was. I'd like to say maybe it was unusually painful, or maybe it was unusually painful at unusual times. Like, is she curious about that? Like, in other words, all I'm saying is this midrash is pointing to not simple unusual pain, but is at certain times there was pain, which is strange to her. And then you have the Sfarno, right? Then the Sfarno says, "Vatomer Kane, Achrei Shadavar Kane, Shemisrotzim." If they're fighting, "V'yishlachu Shiyamu Zechamehem Vestakeni Beleda Kaminag Beleda So Ubarmes." She's concerned that maybe one of them is going to die. It seems here that she is aware that she's having twins. And she's concerned that maybe one of them is going to die because it seems very unusual. And it's going to be a danger to her and she might die. So there's a feeling that the fetus may die. And maybe it might. So the type of stomach pains were unusually painful. It was unusually painful at unusual times. And there's a feeling that the fetus may die. So now she says, "Lama imkein loves that nochi." So you got a couple ways to look at this. The midrash says, Midrash Agada says, "Amar Rivka ilu hayisi yodat sar haibor lo yisi mispalas haibor." Had I known it'd be this painful, I wouldn't have davened to get pregnant. Right? And Rashi says something similar. "Lama zeh nochi mit avin palat al hayrayon." Why did I desire and daven for being pregnant? I didn't want this. I didn't realize how bad this is. Like, she's like, what? This is silly of me. Sfarno has a little bit of a different take, but it's similar. Anim hazera. Why did my relatives desire that I should have a child, Mabram, when they said, Atei lalfei revava? I think they said this bracha right before she left. You should be should have many thousands and thousands of children. Why did my husband daven for me to have a child? This is just too difficult. You have a more mystical approach. Or the Midrash Agada says Lama Ze Anochi, the language of Ze. So you might say they're just making up, but there is Lama Y Ze. So he says Lefi Shahayu Asim Latzeh Yud Be Shotim In Yitzchak. Apparently, originally they wanted, they're playing off the fact that it says the word Zeh, and Yaakov had 12 sons. And so she said maybe she was supposed to have 12 Shvatim from Yitzchak. Amar Rivka, Yeli Tsar Gadol, Lamani Vakesha, she has to be many Yud Be Shvatim, Kiminyan Zeh. I feel like Gematrias. So she's saying, why am I, I don't want to have 12 of these. I don't want Lama Zeh. I don't want to have the Zeh, the 12 of these. This is too difficult for me. Okay? Again, you might think it's cute, it's not whatever, but has the word Zeh in there, and Yaakov has 12 Shvatim, so this is what the Midrash says. In the Hadar Zekanim actually goes even further. It says Zeh Begamatri Yudbeis, Kolomar Yudbeis Shvatim Shilat Leid, Elisha Esav Shiches Rachma. Esav destroyed her womb, made her unable to have any more children. Again, I don't know what that means, but okay. But you have that, and then the Ramban is just saying like Vadachom Beinai Kiamra Imkain. How can she? You think Rivka would daven not to have? She regrets having children. Daven, no, he says Imkain Lama Yeli Lama Zanochi Bolam. Why am I in this world? Halavai Neni. I'd rather not be Shamus or Shalom Yisi. I'd rather die or not be. It's just It's just too painful. You know, she's too painful. Now, if it's too painful, so I'm just saying, and then I'm just saying that if it's very painful, so why is she going to God? What are the possibilities now? Let's think of a little more. So she might be going to God as a doctor, maybe to heal her, or to figure out. Why else might be she going to God?
She doesn't think she's going to make it.
And therefore what?
She's praying.
Okay, so it's okay. So I'm saying, is it she wants to figure out the nature of these pains? Is it she's going to, is she going to daven to Hashem? Why else might she be going to God? Lead you to Hashem. I mean,
even not like a medical explanation, is there some like spiritual explanation?
Right. Is there a spiritual explanation? Is there a solution to her medical problem? Is she davening? Right. You have to think about the impossibility. You see a couple of.
Maybe also if there's a reason for it, like right.
Did she do something wrong? Maybe. Yeah. Right. Okay. So let's see. So the Gur Aryeh says, right, you got thinking a little bit, like, you know, this pasuk can be more than meets the eye a little bit. We think about what she's going through. Avonira Perusho and Kane Lamazanochi, Yoshevat Batam. What does it mean? Lamazanochi. Why am I sitting doing nothing? I need to figure out what's going on. She goes to figure out what's going on. Like, I need to figure out why are all these pains here? What does this mean? Again, I don't know if the Guria is saying physically, spiritually, but I got to figure this more. I got to figure this out more. Seichel Tov says, if she Lidros is Hashem, Levakish Rachim Al Ubar. She's davening for the baby. Again, she may think that at that point the baby's going to die. Rav Chaim Paltiel, a little more mystical approach, because she said, if you hold like the Midrash that said that one is going, that one is jumping out in the house of idolatry, and one's jumping out in the Bate Midrash, so she understands Ruach HaKodesh, one's going to be a Tzaddik, one's going to be a Rasha. So why is it going to be Dorish Lashem? She wants to daven that both of them should be Tzaddikim, right? If that's what you believe. What I find is really fascinating. We have the Midrash HaGadol. He brings a parable. This is interesting. I'll read you the parable. I'll tell you what I think it means, but I'm curious what you think it means. She says, "Vatech lidos Hashem." Amar Rav Tanchu Bar Nachilai v'chi kolisha shehi muberas alechet v'resh b'nevuah. But everyone who gets pregnant, she goes to speak to a prophet. She wants to hear a prophecy. Elamash, and again, she was told a prophecy, but it's not clear if she's going for a prophecy. You see what I'm saying? You know, she's going to be Dorish Hashem. The response is a prophecy, but maybe she's not going for that reason. So he says, Mashal Madavador, what's this similar to? Lecha choisa lo chavis shalyayin, someone had a barrel of wine. Upasak ala lo licha daron lamelech, and she's given as a gift to the king. Nichlas lebeso v'ra nachash karach ala, she sees a snake. It's wrapped around this barrel of wine. Amar, he says, im etol evet varagu asanachas. If I take the stone and kill the snake, harini sparis, the barrel is going to break and the wine is going to spill. Vimalicha daron tamoshi. And if I bring the gift that like it is, hayachani makiv lemelch yain shidagabo nachash. How could I bring to the king a wine that the snake touched? Davashis posakat is dangerous. Ela harini holech v'nil chamer. I'm going to ask the king what I should do. So therefore she goes to seek out God. So what is she asking? What might she be asking?
Whether to keep the pregnancy or not.
Right. She's asking whether she should have what? I think so. I think of it. We're going to see later on that there's some reference to maybe to this idea. It says it explicitly. But I think this Midrash is saying that she wants to know whether she should have an abortion.
In those times, did they practice the abortion?
We're going to see. They at least they believed that they could drink something that may. I don't know how medically accurate.
I understand.
I haven't studied like biblical medicine. No, it's actually a question. I'm interested to do more research. I probably should have done that, but we're going to see some sources assume that there is a way that they believe there is a way to actually have an abortion. So that's where we are now. So she goes. So now, who is she going to? So again, she's going to figure out the meaning of these unusual pains. She's going to daven maybe for herself, for the fetus, that both children should be righteous, or maybe to consult Lidros Hashem, to consult whether she should have an abortion. Now, who does she go to? So leaders of Shem, the Rashbam said to the Nevi'im, the prophets. Right? That's if you gotta speak out, speak to God, you gotta speak to the prophets. Rashi says to the base medrash of shame. Baal Turim says, how you know shame? Lidrosh, I give you, Josh, because you love gematria, I'm going to give you another one. Okay. Lidrosh b'gematria min shame ben Noach. Lidrosh, that's like, it's a higher, it's high, it's a little improbable to get that gematria the same, okay? Lidrosh is 540 and min shame ben Noach, I think, is also 540. I think I did the math before. Okay, so Lidrosh is mean shame ben Noach. Okay, so Rashi says it is shame. Seichel Tov, another manager says it was the base manager of Aver. He was shame alive, you know, but maybe he's a little older. Okay, Radak says no, it was either Avram or shame. So the question, so a lot of different possibilities. Like again, growing up, and we study Chumash with Rashi, so we assume she went to shame. Okay, but the interesting question, according to those opinions that say that she didn't go to Avram, it's a little strange. Why would you not go to Avram? Avram's
father-in-law.
Oh, why? So tell me why. So, yeah.
I don't know. It's just
uncomfortable. She's not going to yes
vote
over.
Right.
He's biased.
He's biased in terms of what?
Grandkids.
Ah, excellent. Right. Very good. In other words, maybe he's not going to give her. So that's one way of looking at this. And why would she not go to Yitzchak? Because what?
Sure, not
a lot of abortion. If she's going for an abortion, yeah. Seriously. Right? If we're going the abortion route, so Yitzhak and Avram would not want the abortion, probably. Okay, they want kids. Okay, so maybe that'd be another reason why she want to go. But let's see. So the Seichel Tov Midrash, he just says, why didn't you go to Avram? You go to the oldest one in your generation, the Zaken. It's like you're Mekabel Pnei Shechina, so that's why you go to someone. Again, the Seichel Tov went to the base bench of Aver. So I guess, I don't know, it seems Shema was alive. So I'm not sure how to, maybe Seichel Tov feels. Not wasn't alive, but you don't go to Avram, you go to the eldest. You want a good Nevuah, you go to the oldest one. Sifrei Chachamim says, I think, I'll tell you what I think, I'm read inside with me, I'll tell you what I think he says. If I'm wrong, you let me know. I think he says, Ein l'hak shalom lo halcha itzal Avram. Don't ask why she didn't go to Avram. Sherei gam hu navi, because he was also a navi. V'yesh lomar, you could say, the Kadosh Baruch Hu soviv kein lahali me Avraham inyan ha-he-rayon shlo yitzda'er. You could say that Hashem sort of facilitated this to hide from Avram the idea of pregnancy so that he shouldn't be troubled. Sherei meis Avram kodem She yatsa Esav le tabutz ra. Avram died before Esav went off the derech. Kedei shetei misasa b'seir b'tovah. So he'd be happy when he died. It says that Hashem hid this matter from Avram, the idea, this concept of the pregnancy. It seems, maybe I'm wrong about this, it seems that maybe she went to Avram and he didn't know what it meant. In other words, Hashem hid this the concept of the pregnancy, what it's all about. So it's almost as if, it's not explicit, but that's what I think it means. It could mean
that she went to him and he didn't know what.
He didn't know. That's what I think it means. That's what I think it means. That's what I think he's saying. Okay? That's what I think he's saying. So, but now we have a little more. Moshe of Zakadim says, Batech Lidros is a Shem. Perish Rashi, the Midrash of Shoshem. He said to the base manager of Shem. Im Tomer lo malachal, the Midrash of Shalom, why don't you go to the base manager of Avram? Yesh Lomar. Avram. She didn't want to distress Avram. She didn't want to cause pain to Avram that she's having such troubles. Inami yesh lomar. Shalchai tzal shev eiver li sholahem im hoysa yuchol lishto sam shahoysa yoledes. That she can, right, if she's allowed to, you know, drink some kind of medicine, basically. I think she wants to know whether she could have this, you know, that if she can drink this, because she was about to give birth. I think that she's asking. It's a little strange to drink a medication because she was about to give birth. I think saying that she was going to shave an Aver to ask a Shaila about having an abortion. The Rabbeinu Rav Chaim Paltiel, I think, is more explicit. He says, why don't you go to the Beis Midrash of Avraham? And the Yesh Lomar, Lekach Lohochal Beis Midrash Shel Chamia, Shei Betata, Shei Yatiru La, Lishtel Shum Sam Shaisa Mapelis. Right? So she thought that they would give her a heter to have an abortion. And they responded, no, she should have an abortion. This pain is you're going to have two children, two nations in your stomach. V'chashra im eilech eitzel chami, afilu im mutter. He said, even if I were to go, right? It's a big machlokas. Did Avram Paschal like Moshe Feinstein or the Tzitz Eliezer, right? Moshe Feinstein held that abortion is murder unless it's to save the health of the mother. And Tzitz Eliezer allowed an abortion in the second trimester when there's a Tay-Sachs baby. So maybe she thought, they would pass it like Avram and Shem Ever, they pass like Tzitz Eliezer, they allow an abortion. But even if it's mutter, lo yatir li bishvil beno. Avram, like you said, wouldn't want an abortion, he wants a son. The Gur Aryeh says, a little more than this. The reason why she didn't ask Yitzchak or Avram, Yishlom, the Harsa Rivka Savura, that Rivka thought, the Shema, Bishul Chet, Yishlo Tzar Ha Ibor Kokav. She thought, you know, I have a pain, you know, I have Tzar, I committed a sin. And what? Because the Chazal say that the Nashim Tzidkanios, they weren't, he says that they didn't have the Piska Shul Chachava, they weren't going to suffer when they would get pregnant. They Miyodos Blo Tzar Ibor Veleda. A tzadekes is not gonna have pain. V'haisa misyare shetitkane beinai bala. If she would have she's saying I'm suffering, then maybe her husband would say she's not worthy. Okay. Or she omar Avram liyitzak she ain't a hagunel. Or Avram would say to Yitzhak that she's not worthy for him. V'yisa cheres o yigarshena. And then he'll marry someone else or he'll divorce her. Now that she was embarrassed to go to Yitzhak or Avram to say that she's going through these pains, she thought it was a flaw in her. The Ramban. So the question though is: so why does she never tell Yitzchak about this, or does she ever tell Yitzchak about this? Right. So what do you think? Does she ever tell Yitzchak about this? So there's a big question, right? When Yitzchak's about to bless Esav, so Rivka says, no, Yaakov, you got to get the bracha. So one of the reasons why she thinks she should get the bracha is maybe because she realized Yaakov's a good guy. Esav's not. Or maybe there's another reason, right? Because what does she have that Esav doesn't have? What is the nevuah. She knows the prophecy. She knows Rav Yevod Tzair, that Esav's going to serve Yaakov. The question, why does she never tell? Why doesn't she tell Yitzchak the prophecy? Or maybe she did, but seems that she didn't. The Ramban says she didn't. Ramban says, "V'nir shlo yida lo Rivka me'olam hanavua she'amar Hashem lo v'ravi otzair." Seems that Rivka never told him the prophecy. Ki eich haya Yitzchak over al pi Hashem hilo tisach. How could Yitzchak violate the word of God? V'nir mitchila lo yida lo derech musar tzni. It said initially, she didn't tell him derech musar or tznius. What do you think that means? She didn't tell him by way of Musar and Tznius. I don't know, it's a private matter, it's modest. She's trying to be modest, not to get into these things. He's looking like a holy man. Seems she went without the permission of Yitzchak. Or maybe she says, maybe she thought, I don't have to tell Yitzchak the prophecy, he's greater than Navi. And you know, if he doesn't know it, I'm sure he knows it. And now she's not going to say this. Why? Because Yitzchak loved Yaakov so much. Maybe then he wouldn't bless Yaakov. So she's nervous here. She's nervous about this. There's a famous Netziv in the Hamikdavar who says that basically, I don't know if you've heard this Netziv before. That basically, he says that when Rivka first sees Yitzchak, what does she do? What does she do when she first meets him?
She goes off the camel.
She falls off the camel. And she sees, who is this person? This Isha Elokim. She thought it was a Malach. And said, no, that's your husband. And then the Netziv says that basically she was in awe of him, so she couldn't confront him. And they had, so just in case you think that this was like, you know, it shows you that, you know, they had bad communication. The Netziv actually says at the very end of this, there's all hashgacha pratis, that Hashem had this, created this scenario that she would meet him like this, and therefore she would be afraid of him. And that's why she doesn't tell him about the prophecy. And that's why she can't tell him now about what's going on with Yaakov. It was all part of God's plan. That's how the Netziv says, all part of God's plan. It was a Siba Me'akadosh Baruch Hu Shehigiyah Brachah LeYaakov. Dafka Ba'osa Ofed. It was God created this situation. And if Rivka would have been, he said, if Rivka would have been a wife like Rachel and Sarah and Rachel with their husbands, this would not have transpired. This is part of God's plan. This should also transpire like this. And then Yitzchak should run, and Yaakov should run away. It was all Shkacha Pratis. But what's interesting is that, basically, she was afraid that Yitzchak would listen to her. And that's why she doesn't tell him the prophecy. She had this kind of gap. But I think what's fascinating, at the end of the story, someone points out to me, at the end of the story, what happens? Because of at the end of the story, in Perachav Zayin Pasuk Memvav, it's part of her ruse, but she says, V'tol Rivka Yitzchak, Katzi b'chaya mibnei b'nos ches, im l'kech Yaakov isha mibnos ches, ke'ela mibnos haaretz lamaz li'chayim. She says to Yitzchak, I can't have my son Yaakov marry one of the local girls. And that's what Yitzchak says, you got to run away. She says this as part of a ruse because she hears that Esav wants to kill Yaakov, so she tells Yitzchak, I can't have him marry a local girl. So Yitzchak tells her, go to Lavan and you marry there. But by the way, what's fascinating, this is the first time she speaks her mind to Yitzchak. It's the first time. She has the audacity to actually confront him. Could be, this is the first time she's assertive, it could be that she sees, it's also the first time where she sees that she tricks, again, she can never confront you. She never confronts you throughout the marriage, at least in the Torah. And she tricks, she feels the only way she can get the bracha to Yaakov is by tricking Yitzchak. And when Yitzchak realized that he was tricked, he says, God Baruch, yeah, he accepts it. And he realized he made a mistake, and he accepts it. He still blesses Yaakov. He doesn't say bad about Rivka, doesn't say bad about Yaakov. And what's fascinating is, ironically, her deception actually brings them closer together. Her deception realized that Yitzchak is someone who can make a mistake and acknowledge his failures, and he's not just some Isha Elohim, this Malach, actually gives her the courage to actually confront him. And I wonder if maybe after that, they had maybe a stronger, closer relationship. So it's her deception that actually brings them actually closer together and have that in the story. So